This is Animal Radio Network. Well, Judy, I'm looking outside the window now, and I see some sun.
That's encouraging.
It is. It means it's almost summer. Time to travel again. And oftentimes we travel with our pets, and I just got this vehicle maker's pet travel quiz in the mail. They send us all their junk mail is what they do. And it has five questions on it. It's made by the Chrysler, Jeep, and Dodge service specialists. Oh, I'm sorry about that. And it has five questions I'm going to ask you and see if you pass.
Oh, no. I didn't prepare.
Well, you didn't cram for this test here.
Yeah.
Okay. Where do you think the safest place for your pet to sit in your car is? A, on the driver's lap. B, in the front passenger seat beside the driver. C, in the rear seat. Or D, in the back, if it's a pickup truck, of course.
Okay, well, I know it's not. You're not supposed to let your dog ride in the back of a truck. In fact, I had a friend whose dogs did, and one fell out and broke its leg, so that was a no. And it's safe for kids to ride in the back, so that's what I'm going to say.
In the rear seat is absolutely right. And, of course, if you do have a pickup truck, there are tethers that are made specifically for your dog.
So that they can't jump or fall out.
So they can't jump or fall out. And it's very important that you take care of them. Because if you make a sudden stop, they're going to go flying.
And you know, I live in a small town, and I've seen them riding on the roof of a truck.
That's unbelievable.
Not even in the bed, but on the roof.
Well, you may think it's safe. It's just not if you had to stop suddenly. Also, question number two here. Should your pet be allowed to put its head out the window? Now, we all drive down the street every day, and we see dogs sticking their head out. It seems like they're so happy. They love to do that. A, yes, you can do that. B, if the window is open a maximum of 3 inches. Or C, never.
Well, you know, I feel like I'm doing very well because I know these answers.
Yeah?
And, yeah, I know the dog likes to have his head out the window, but he can have objects fly in his eyes and hit him in the eye and hit him in the face and stuff, so it's really dangerous for the dog.
That is correct. Don't ever do it. Don't ever do it.
About guys? What about your husband?
Husband, you can
let him hang his head out the window.
Yeah, there's no problem there whatsoever. Okay. Question number three, how often do pets require pet stops, rest stops? Well, A, every hour. B, when they tell you they need to. Or C, whenever you do.
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
I think when they tell you is probably going to be too late. And, you know, if I can hold it, why can't they? I'd say whenever I do. I don't think, yeah.
You're doing very well.
I am.
Yes. You 100% so far. Whenever you stop, make sure that you stop. Walk your dog or your cat. Now, here's the thing about cats. When you take cats out at rest stops, they tend to sometimes take off or run away. You don't want to do that, especially in a foreign city. You don't want to lose your animals, especially around traffic. So make sure you have a harness with your cat. We're not talking about a leash. They can get out of leashes. A harness, which goes around their neck and around the rest of their body.
And it has to fit kind of snug. You should be able just to get your two fingers underneath it because they are masters of escape.
They're little Houdini. Yes. We'll go to the phones in just a second at 1-866-405-8405, but we're not done with the big Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge.
Oh, no, there's another question.
Oh, there's two more. There's two more. Number four, should you ever leave your pet in the car? Question four, should you ever leave your pet in the car? A, yes. B, only if you leave the window slightly opened. C, only if it's for 10 minutes or less. Or D, never.
I'm going to say 10 minutes or less.
10 minutes or less. Okay. Well, you know, it's sort of a combination of answers here. First of all, you know, as they tell you for children.
It depends on the weather. I mean,
you got to have the windows open.
Yeah.
In an 80-degree day, which is kind of common around here, if the windows are closed, it can become 115 degrees inside the car within 10 minutes. So if you're going to leave them in the car, it should be for a short amount of time and with the window open. Okay, you're almost done here. Question number five. Uh-huh. What should you do if your pet gets motion sickness? A, take shorter trips. B, let it ride on the front seat. Or C, leave it at home. What do you think there?
Oh, boy. It's either shorter trips. I'm going to say leave it at home if it gets car sick. Almost had a perfect score.
You've got to take them out every once in a while. They want to go out, too. For motion sickness, the best thing to do is to take shorter trips, and that actually minimizes stress for the animals.
I'm surprised they didn't mention giving it Dramamine or some kind of medication. Isn't there medication for dogs for sickness?
I don't know. We'll have to find out. We'll have to check into that. I'll do some research right now. Later. I'll do it later. Let's go to the phones. 1-866-405-8405. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Jan in San Francisco.
Hi, Jan. How you doing?
Doing fine today, thanks.
What's the weather like there?
Gorgeous. We've had a lot of rain in the last few days, but now there's blue sky with just a few clouds.
Well, that's San Francisco day. Typically San Francisco, yes.
Let's see, what time is it? How many hours would it take us
to get there? A very beautiful city. What can we do for you today?
I have been foster caring a schnauzer, Daisy the Dancing Schnauzer. Daisy the Dancing Schnauzer. She dances and she sings. Daisy is originally from the Nashville, Tennessee area.
Yes.
And I have been watching her for the past 8 months for a friend who could not. And now it's time to return Daisy to her daddy. And I don't want to fly. I feel like taking a road trip. But I know that it may be hard to find places to stay with the dog. So I'm wondering, can you give me any tips on how I can track down places? I'm not all that internet savvy, so I'm wondering if there's a way to do it without using the internet.
Well, you know, what I used to do is I used to sneak them into hotels, and I've learned that that's you go in the back entrance, and of course these are cats that I'm talking about, and frequently you could do that without anybody really noticing, except if you're staying for more than one day and the maid comes in and they see a cat and then the cat gets out and there's all kinds of trouble there.
Well, you know, plus it's hard because cats like to sit in the window.
Yes.
So you've got
they want to look out.
Yeah, your cat's sitting in the window of the hotel. It's, you know, kind of a giveaway.
Yeah, well, there are books that tell you about this. I happen to have one right. We actually have a bunch of these, and I'll send you one. It's called the Mobile. It's actually from Mobile, the gas company. And they have a book called On the Road with Your Pet.
Excellent.
Yeah, and they list hotels that are pet-friendly and that will allow your animals to be guests. And I got to say, it within the last couple of years, hotels are really opening up to this.
There's a lot of hotels out there nowadays.
Some hotels, they'll put you in the, they have less desirable rooms, and they call those the pet-friendly rooms. But there are some actual hotels that cater to animals. One we know of is the
Kimpton
chain.
Yes.
Which we just spoke to Stephen Panetti. And they actually, kind of fun, they actually have kits for all the animals when they check in, and treats
and doggy beds
and all kinds of stuff.
Everything.
And I bet they're listed in here. So we'll send you one of the On the Road with Your Pet. Now, how do you feel about leaving this animal that you fostered for so long?
It's tough. I've fallen in love with her. I'm usually a big dog kind of person, but I found that Schnauzers are very smart, very loyal and loving, and I've fallen in love with this dog. It's going to be very, very hard to part with her.
There's going to be tears, huh?
I'm afraid so.
Well, you know, there's a lot of breed rescues out there. Why don't you look one up, on the internet, or maybe have a friend help you, and find one of your own that needs a home?
You know, I may, but I've had dogs in the past, and I know how much they demand to be well taken care of. So I need to be totally into it, and I actually have some cats now, and when they pass on, before I get another pet, I'm going to do some traveling, and then I'll be ready to have a dog again. And yes, I'll go to one of these breed rescues. I've been hearing great things about them. There's one in Marin County for Old English sheepdogs, and I hear there's one in San Jose for Schnauzers, and I will definitely check them out. They're my two favorite breeds.
Well, you know, I like to hear that these days. When people say they aren't going to get a pet, they're being considerate because they don't have the time to devote. Yeah, a lot of people are not getting pets because of that reason, and that's good.
Dog is like a kid, but it never grows up and becomes independent.
Well, then it's like a husband.
Exactly. You have to be prepared to exercise it three times a day, and at least one of those has to be a really long walk. and you have to take care of it and take it with you. And if you're not going to, you have to make sure someone's there to do the things that you would do if you were home.
Now, wait a minute. Are we talking about husbands or dogs? I'm getting confused.
They're very similar, huh?
I understand that San Francisco actually was the first major no-kill city in our country. And the SPCA up there has done a wonderful job. I've actually visited the SPCA in San Francisco, and I remember it was like hotel suites for these cats. They had TVs. I wouldn't want to leave if I was a cat. I would want to stay there. But as far as I know, they've done very well in keeping animals alive.
It's a great SPCA. And you're talking about Maddie's Condominiums.
Yes.
For dogs and cats.
Yes.
That was a schnauzer owned by a local couple who left a lot of money to the SPCA in memory of Maddie when she passed on. But in the beginning, when they had those condominiums and suites, they were allowing homeless people to sleep there at night to kind of acclimate the cats and dogs to having people around.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but that experiment kind of fell by the wayside after a while. But it showed the liberalness and the progressiveness of San Francisco's heart to try to do something that for the homeless and the animals here.
Great.
Good city. It ranks up there with Boulder and Austin, Texas, as far as loving their animals and taking care of their animals. We appreciate your call. We're going to send you one of these books. Let us know how it goes. I'll tell you, I so many times have tried to foster cats. They do not make it out of my house. I'm sorry. I fall too much in love. I cannot let them go. So I commend you for what you're doing. I give you all of the strength that we can, and we'll set you up in some good hotels for you.
Thank you. It's very hard to let Daisy go, but thank you so much for sending me this book and turning me on to it. I really appreciate it.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
That's burger on your breath. You get the hell out of the studio if you have burger on your breath.
I'll bring another one.
We're completely vegetarians here at the Animal Radio Studios. Okay, who are we talking to now? We're going to call Cottonwood, Idaho.
Not if I don't have that paper with the phone number. We're not calling anybody.
Stolen from here. We're actually calling, they have a picture here on this article. Some of the best views in this tiny farming community of Cottonwood can be seen through the eyes of a dog. Really?
The best view?
The best view through the temples of the giant dog-shaped bed and breakfast. Yeah, this big dog, known as Sweet Willie Colton, to his owners, opened for business last summer, southeast of Lewiston. It's a big dog is what it is.
So it's actually you're going into and sleeping in a big dog.
Yes.
The room is in the form of a dog.
A 35-foot beagle. And we're going to call Dennis and or his wife Frances right now. And here's the phone number.
We're going to call Dennis Sullivan.
Dennis Sullivan. And ask him about his big beagle in Cottonwood. I wonder if that's around our stations in Idaho Falls and Blackfoot.
I think it's further. I think he's way up here somewhere.
As you can see, she's pointing to the map.
Oh, move the phone over.
Keep forgetting sometimes that this is radio.
Good afternoon, Dogbert Park.
Hi, Dennis.
Yes.
It's Hal and Judy calling from Animal Radio.
Hi, Dennis.
Hello. Hi, Judy.
How are you?
Real good, thank you.
Good.
Well, I'm looking at a picture of this beautiful place you got here. What do you call it?
Dogbert Park.
Dogbert Park, and you have a big old beagle in Dogbert Park.
Yes, we do. His name is Sweet Willie.
And he's 35 feet, huh?
Yes, he's quite tall. He's a big dog.
And does he stand alone there?
He has this small, his puppy with him, his little brother or his puppy, Toby, that stands at his side. And Toby, of course, is a smaller dog at 12 feet tall.
At 12 feet tall. And what is inside the 35-foot tall beagle?
It's a bed and breakfast. We can sleep four. We have bedding for four. We have slept many more bodies in usually families with small children and sleeping bags.
Well, that must be very exciting.
Yes, it is.
Where did you come up with this idea?
Well, we're in the dog carving business, and we had Dogbert Park, and we were thinking about a large billboard. And the thought of a big dog would attract attention. And over dinner one evening, my wife and I exchanging ideas, the kind of conversation that, well, what if we did this or what if we did that?
Let me ask, was there a little bit of Merlot there at dinner?
Just a tiny bit.
Yes, okay.
left at the bottom of the bottle, just a tiny bit.
And so Willie's stomach is what part of the house is that, or the bed and breakfast is
in his the main room is in his body.
Okay.
With the full bath under the tail in the rear of the dog, because, well, why not?
Yeah.
Of course. And then
a
loft room up in the head with a reading area in the muzzle. When you rent the dog, you get the whole dog.
And and how much does it cost to rent it?
It's $88 for two.
Okay, and so do you have honeymooners and such that come by there?
Yes, we do. Actually, the whole wide spectrum of honeymooners, and we always think probably that's to get the husband in the right frame of mind. He's in the doghouse from the first evening on. And then we also do families, wedding anniversary type of things. And then just to get away, we stress that we don't offer television and telephone, so
you're on your own.
You're on your own, and you're out here on the prairie, up on the Camas Prairie, and it's quite quiet.
Well, now, you carve dogs for a living?
Yes, we do.
What is that?
We're chainsaw artists.
Oh, okay. I've seen those with the big bears. I've never seen dogs.
Yes, we specialize in dogs, and I think we have about 60 different breeds. I've been carving dogs for 22 years now.
And can you see pictures online at dogbarkparkin.com?
Yes.
It's hard to say.
It is. A little Merlot helps.
Yeah.
Yes, there are some featured on the website.
Now, where are you exactly located in Idaho?
We're in north central Idaho, which really is meaningless, I think.
Well, we have two stations, one in Blackfoot and one in Idaho Falls.
We're about 10 hours
away
north.
Yeah, I would imagine those stations are too far away.
Yes,
yeah.
But there's too many mountains between our place and that place.
But it sounds like a very nice place. Is it off the side of the road? Is it? I can't tell from the picture. I see a billboard in the background. I'm wondering if it's...
Yes, Sweet Willie's nose is about 70 feet from the edge of Highway 95.
And the 12-foot puppy, is that a guest room?
That's just the dog.
Just
the
to
dog.
Keep him company.
Just
yes,
to keep him
just
company.
To keep him company. When he grows up, possibly he'll be a bed and breakfast.
Now, do you plan on adding any more dogs or possibly cats?
Well, I don't know if cats really would stay around with so many dogs, but we do have plans to do more dogs for bed and breakfast buildings. We have 2.25 acres here.
Uh-huh.
The next one that we have that's designed is a basset hound, and he would be closer to the ground, so we would be able to offer handicap access.
Oh, very good. Okay, located on Highway 95, Cottonwood, Idaho. The website is www.dogbarkparkin.com. We'll put a link from the animalradio.com website, just in case I've confused anyone beyond the normal confusion. The phone number is 208-962-DOGS. It sleeps 4. What kind of reservations do we need to make for this?
As soon as possible.
Okay.
You booked months in advance?
We're not 100% full, but it is indeed quite busy.
Now, are you open all year round?
No, we will be next year. This winter we had closed down.
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot of traffic on the highway in the winter. We're open now, and then we're expecting to be open through most of the winter next year.
Well, then, now that you've been on Animal Radio, you can expect to be open year-round.
Exactly.
We're gonna increase the traffic on the highway out there.
Well, that always is.
We're going to go there.
Well, you should have to come up. And people often ask, the question most often asked, I think, is do we allow dogs?
And do you?
And animal statement is that we allow responsible dogs that arrive with well-behaved humans.
Oh, very good. It's just the humans we're actually worried about. I can understand that. The website, one more time, Dog Bark Park Inn. Thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you. Been nice to visit.
Take care, Dennis.
Bye-bye.
There's more Animal Radio on the way.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
You like this song, don't you? You do know, sort of a little dance.
I go into that every time you turn this on. I cannot sit still. I just love it. I don't even know what it is.
Well, it's the theme song to Animal Radio, of course.
Well, okay.
And Animal Radio Network.
But how can you hear that and sit still?
Yeah, you really can't.
I can't. I'm just too hyper in the studio. I mean, you're making me sit here.
Speaking of sitting still, you won't want to do that. Next weekend, we will be live in Denver, Colorado, broadcasting from the Canine Rehabilitation Center. That's the 3700 South block of Lipan, L-I-P-A-N in Denver. And you can get all the information off the website at animalradio.com. Very glad we travel in a big broadcast vehicle. We actually bring the animals with us.
Don't have to worry about hotels.
Hotels, that would be a lot of trouble. 1-866-405-8405 is the number if you want to touch base with us for any reason whatsoever. Just to, maybe you want to say, Hal, stop yapping so much. We just want to hear what Judy has to say.
There you go. The phones are ringing now. I can hear them.
Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, this is Sherry from Long Beach, Washington.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
There's a Long Beach in Washington, huh?
I didn't
yes,
know that.
There is.
Is that a port?
Nope, it's not a port.
Okay. What's the weather like there today?
Well, actually, I can't decide what it wants to do. It's either raining or it's sunny. But I'll take it.
Oh, okay. What can we do for you today, Sherry?
Well, I heard you talking about pet-friendly hotels, and I kind of have a little story to tell.
Uh-oh, okay.
When I was a little bit younger, my parents had decided to move from the East Coast to the West Coast, and I had a favorite cat. Her name was Butterball.
Butterball?
Butterball. And I refused to leave, you know, her back on the East Coast. My dad was a little leery of the whole thing, and the first couple of nights he made her stay in the car. And I said, that's not going to work because she was just too lonely. So we stopped and bought some baby clothes at a thrift store. So
uh-oh.
I dressed her up in baby clothes so we could sneak her into the hotels.
You would dress your cat. Let me get this straight. You dress your cat up in baby clothes so you could. What a nice baby you have!
Blankets and the whole nine yards, and she was a big cat, so she did really well.
So that worked.
God.
It worked. It worked every time.
Oh, really? Okay.
It worked every time.
That's kind of a clever idea.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't keep them out of the windows that way, but if you keep them in the baby clothes, you know
they can't move.
You know, can't move.
Yeah.
And it's easier with cats than it is with dogs because. Dogs bark, so you can't do it with dogs. The cats—they
would complain.
Yes, they definitely would complain.
I know many people that dress their dogs up. In fact, I was just looking at a catalog with some absolutely ridiculous pictures of dogs being dressed up in Halloween costumes and such. Well, Sherry, thank you very much for sharing that story, and we appreciate you listening to Animal Radio. We have some parting gifts for you, so don't go anywhere yet. I'm going to put Judy on the phone with you. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Animal Radio after
this.
Every once in a while, there comes along a special group of animal lovers that stands strongly in defense of the voiceless. Animal People is that newspaper for people who really care about the animals. Animal People's published 10 times yearly. The publisher is a nonprofit corporation dedicated to exposing the existence of cruelty to animals and to informing and educating you so that animal lovers worldwide can eliminate such cruelty. Your subscription is $24 a year. Get Animal People's fair and accurate investigative reporting from the industry watchdog. Visit our website at www.animalpeoplenews.org. That's www.animalpeoplenews.org to subscribe to the news for people who care about animals. Animal People. Subscribe today at www.animalpeoplenews.org.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Cut one, Term Lifeline, 60-second spot.
Term life insurance. Everybody should have the right protection, and there's only one place to get it. The Term Lifeline.
I can't read this script anymore.
There's the script. Listen, let me talk from my heart. We all know why we need term life insurance, in case the unforeseen happens. Well, I have a family too, and if anything happens to me, I want to make sure my house and my debts are handled, and my family has enough money to take care of them for a long time. So about a year ago, I called the Term Lifeline. I got a very affordable price for a $500,000 policy. I want to make sure my family's protected if something happens to me. If you already have term life insurance, call us and get more coverage. It never hurts. Or see if you're paying too much right now. If you don't have term life insurance, you definitely need to call us. Here's the number. 800-430-0932. 800-430-0932. That's 800-430-0932. Not available in all states.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe. Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
I'm talking about my dog Chance and what a great product Comfort Zone has been. He had a lot of severe anxiety, separation problems. He redecorated my house several times for me when I had left him alone. Through a friend who gave me as a gift Comfort Zone, I started using it about 9 months ago. At one point, I ran out of it for a month, and I saw a definite change in his personality right away. He's a small terrier type dog, and he has a high energy level. Without it, he just is out of control. He can't seem to control himself. I worked nights, and I had hoped that I would be able to leave Chance by himself. Before I got Comfort Zone, that was totally impossible. He had even jumped through one of the windows in my home and came down to where I work. After using Comfort Zone, I'm able to leave him in the evenings. He's a very much calmer dog. Even in the daytime, he's more relaxed. It's a godsend. I don't know what we would do without it. I think it's a great product, and it's really changed our lives. Comfort Zone is a godsend for us.
This is Ty, a Siamese cat who has happily lived 9 lives and has recently crossed the Rainbow Bridge.
I heard my human friends talking about cloning me, but there's only one me. It would make me happy if they gave a homeless cat a home. After all, that's how they got me.
Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
Most pet store puppies are obtained from puppy mills, where dogs are treated as mere livestock to be bred over and over again, and where attention to the mother's and puppy's physical and social needs are ignored. Humane organizations have been trying for many years to close such places down, but they can't do so without the help of an informed public that refuses to buy these dogs. The warmth and comfort sought by puppy buyers can easily be found in any local shelter, where animals wait for rescue from a sad fate. Many puppies bought on a whim will be ending up in these shelters anyway, when the realities of dog guardianship become evident to purchasers. I urge all who are truly serious about providing a lifelong home for a dog to stay clear of puppy mill animals. If it's a specific breed you seek, there are hundreds of breed rescue organizations that will be overjoyed to help. This is Steve LaVorn for the Animal Radio Network.
This is Animal Radio
Network. And it feels so good to be focusing this week on Pet Friendly America, the tour.
The tour kicks off.
Denver.
Yes, that's how exciting.
A very exciting place. Actually, my hometown. That's where I was raised as a little pup.
As a pup, huh?
As a little, well, okay.
You're still a little pup.
Still a little pup. And, of course, that happens April 2nd. We'll be broadcasting live from the Canine Rehabilitation Center.
There you go.
And you can get all the information at animalradio.com. We have a very special guest on the phone. As we seek out the most pet-friendly places to be in America, I got a press release from a gentleman, Stephen Panetti. Steve, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Hal. How about yourself?
Very well, thank you.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
You're the big cheese at Kimpton Hotels, is that correct?
Yes.
And Kimpton...
The big dog, not the big cheese.
The big dog.
Big dog, yes.
39 of these beautiful hotels all across the country. I believe one in Denver, too. Is that correct, Stephen?
That's right. The Denver Monaco, right downtown there.
Oh, very good. And these are all pet-friendly hotels. And when I say pet-friendly, I don't mean, okay, they'll just allow your animal into some
the
of the bad
way.
Rooms
yeah.
in the back. We're talking about a hotel that's actually
caters
to these animals. And it's that's why we have Steve on the phone today. Steve, I guess you're an animal lover, right?
Yes, I am. You know, this whole idea started back when we opened up our first hotel back in 1983. And our chairman and founder at the time, Bill Kenton, who loved to visit the wine country, and in the course of all of his travels, ended up with a small miniature collie by the name of Chianti, who he would bring with him frequently to our first hotel, the Bedford Hotel here in San Francisco. And as he was in the office taking care of business, the dog was free to kind of roam around the lobby of the hotel, and over time the guests interacted with Chianti, and other guests who had brought their pets, the pets interacted, and kind of that's where we really got the idea of we ought to take a look at just how many people are out there traveling with their pets. How big a deal is that really? Let's put a little bit of time and attention into researching that. And what we found out, it's a pretty huge population, and at this point we've had everything from cats and dogs to birds and iguanas. In fact, there in Denver we had a guy check in with his pet chimpanzee.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you've ever seen a chimpanzee up close and personal, but it was bigger than the person that it walked in with. I won't tell you which hotel had the boa constrictor, but fortunately the snake left with the guests, so that had a happy ending. And of all things, what was really funny, up in Salt Lake City, we had a guy pull up in front of the hotel with this giant horse trailer with four horses in it, and a little anxiety because we thought we were going to really get tested on just how pet friendly we were. But the guy asked if he could park his truck and trailer outside, and he heard we were pet friendly, and you know, doesn't expect to bring the horses in, but going to check him himself just because we had this kind of program going. So it's actually been an awful lot of fun. It's helped put our hotels on the map. And like you said, we've got everything from treats at the front desk to a welcome board where when we know your pet's name, we've got a welcome mechanism for your pet as we would normally have for our regular guests. We've got bowls out in front of the hotels with pet food and water, and we've got everything from maps on where to go with your pets, businesses in town that are pet friendly as well.
Wow.
And maybe up in Seattle you can get one of those sweaters that they have for cats and dogs, or those little umbrellas that they have for their heads, or it's almost endless, all the fun things that we've got going on here.
Well, so now, are a lot of people traveling with their animals, and is this something that post 9/11 you find a lot of people are traveling?
You know, it's interesting. There was a bit of an uptick after 9/11. You know, people who are I'm certainly not the expert on this. I'm a hotel and restaurant sales and marketing guy, but you do a little bit of work to try to understand who your guests are, you know, demographically and psychographically. And at the end of the day, all that really means is that people who are single people, men and women, who have a pet, their pet is their partner in life. And there are emotional and mental connections that go on there. And in some cases, the separation from one's pet when traveling is even more dramatic sometimes than when a spouse leaves on a business trip, because the other spouse is there to maybe keep an eye on the house or keep an eye on the family. Whereas if you're a single individual, when you're gone, your pet's by themselves, or they're with somebody else, or they are someplace else that's not their normal home. And there is a little bit of emotion and anxiety that goes into that.
Oh, so, I completely understand that. You know how some dogs have stress and anxiety when their owners leave?
That's right.
I'm the kind of guy that I get stressed when I leave the dogs. They couldn't really care, but I can't be away from them for a long time. That's why we travel with an RV now, so we can bring them. But not a lot of people, especially business people, have the convenience of doing that. I see your Cambridge Cambridge, Massachusetts hotel has the Finicky Feline Pampering Kit. What is that?
The Finicky Feline Pampering Kit, it includes a scratching post, there's a fleece blanket involved, there's a lunch box full of gourmet kitty treats from, of all places, the Polka Dog Bakery right across the street. And so, you know, we are, you know, it isn't just so broad a pet-friendly program, but we actually separate what we do for folks with dogs and what we do for folks with cats, which is, you know, 95% of the types of pets that we get.
Well, I've noticed each hotel, instead of straight across the board being pet-friendly and offering the same amenity, each hotel sort of focuses on their own little thing.
Right. Well, each one of our 40 hotels or so across the country, you know, is pretty unique. We're the folks who pioneered this small boutique hotel concept where you've got a you take an old building in the city, you bring it back alive, you maintain the bones and the integrity of that original building. You know, it could have been an office building or a department store or a bank building or a Masonic temple or an old post office or whatever. You bring it back alive and you put a very fun contemporary design on it, and you pair that up with a very cool, very stylish, chef-driven type restaurant, and you've got the formula for a very winning situation for somebody who's traveling for either business or pleasure. We started this business back in 1981, and we've got the reputation for basically starting this kind of four-star boutique product that's, you know, very accessible financially for most folks and has all the full services and amenities, you know, of a high-powered hotel.
I understand that you also have a special program for people that don't have pets. They're not traveling with their pets, but maybe they'd like to have one in their room.
We have a series within our group of hotels. Seven of them are called Hotel Monaco. Uh-huh. And a lot of folks, the Monacos are, they're a wonderful group of hotels. In fact, each year that we opened a new Monaco in the various cities, New Orleans, Chicago, Washington, Seattle, Denver, San Francisco, Salt Lake, each year we would open one of those hotels. They would win in many of the architectural and design magazines awards for being some of the best-looking hotels in the country or having some of the best room amenities or public areas. Uh-huh. And we knew we had something special with this group of hotels, and it's really funny how it came about, but we're sitting around in a staff meeting thinking about, you know, what unique thing can we do? We've had, and we were looking at all of our successes. Pets was one of them, and it led to a variety of conversations, but ultimately it ended up with, well, why don't we put a goldfish in every room? Or at least, why don't we make available to our guests goldfish to beat live goldfish in their room while they're staying with us? Because we know that a pet with a pet owner or even a non-pet owner kind of reduces stress. It's living, it's breathing, it's alive. It really brings an emotional element to the individual's stay that's missing in a blank, empty hotel room. So in our Monacos across the country, you have the option of requesting a goldfish be brought up to your room during your stay.
Well, that's great. I love that. That is so unique.
It's a lot of. We've had a lot of fun. We've even to the point where we've had people that want to take it with them, we have standing requests from many of our regulars to make sure that these are ready and in the room, ready to go when they get there. And people that are traveling with their families, we get a lot of families. It's a very cool, fun thing for the kids as well, just so long as they keep their hands out of the bowl, you know.
And keep the cats
out of the bowl, too. Yeah, we've been pretty good. We actually, we have to be very careful with that because as fun as that is, it's got to be done correctly. So each one of those hotels works with a local aquarium company to make sure that we're doing it right. And the big tank that we have in the housekeeping department where all the fish are kept is properly, you know, the pH is balanced and the food is done correctly. And it turns out we had somebody go around and audit. And What's really great is that these are pretty hardy fish to begin with, but the mortality rate of our fish in our hotels is well under what normally goes on in people's homes. So we're making a great effort to do something really fun for our guests, and we're trying to show some consciousness around, you know, making sure we're doing it right as well.
I hope you screen the ones that request the goldfish, because if I was there with my cats in the room, they would pick up the hotel phone, push a button, and request
yeah.
a goldfish.
You got
so,
smart cats.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Be careful where those requests are coming
That's
from.
That's funny. That's great. Yeah.
Okay, for those of you that are keeping tabs of our pet-friendly America, all the people we've been talking to, write this down. Kimpton Hotels. The pet-friendly hotel for you. Very important pets program that they have, the VIP program. What is the website if someone wants to learn more?
Oh, I appreciate the support. Well, you could go to KimptonHotels.com. Kimpton, that's K-I-M-P-T-O-N, KimptonHotels.com. And you'll see right there on the homepage, there's a section for our hotel group. Just click on hotels, and you'll find within the hotel category our pet-friendly program. And it tells you all about what's going on at each one of the hotels, kind of the philosophy of the company, and that should hopefully answer folks' questions.
I also see KimptonPets.com. Is that
yeah? And that's just a quick link that takes you right to that same page,
right to the same place. Okay,
yeah.
Beautiful, Steve. I appreciate you taking time today out of your busy schedule to yap with us.
No problem.
We think what you're doing is awesome. We wish you the best of luck. For those of you that are interested, you may go to the animalradio.com website. We'll put a link to KimptonHotels.com as well as information about this interview and all of the pet-friendly guests that you've heard today on Animal Radio. There's more Animal Radio and the pet-friendly tour of America on the way. Stick around.
Pet One, Term Lifeline, 60-second spot.
Term life insurance. Everybody should have the right protection, and there's only one place to get it. The Term Lifeline.
I can't read this script anymore. There's the script. Listen, let me talk from my heart. We all know why we need term life insurance, in case the unforeseen happens. Well, I have a family too, and if anything happens to me, I want to make sure my house and my debts are handled and my family has enough money to take care of them for a long time. So about a year ago, I called the Term Lifeline. I got a very affordable price for a $500,000 policy. I want to make sure my family's protected if something happens to me. If you already have term life insurance, call us and get more coverage. It never hurts. Or see if you're paying too much right now. If you don't have term life insurance, you definitely need to call us. Here's the number. 800-430-0932. 800-430-0932. That's 800-430-0932. Not available in all states.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe. Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
Every once in a while, there comes along a special group of animal lovers that stands strongly in defense of the voiceless. Animal People is that newspaper for people who really care about the animals. Animal People's published 10 times yearly. The publisher is a nonprofit corporation dedicated to exposing the existence of cruelty to animals and to informing and educating you so that animal lovers worldwide can eliminate such cruelty. Your subscription is $24 a year. Get Animal People's fair and accurate investigative reporting from the industry watchdog. Visit our website at www.animalpeoplenews.org. That's www.animalpeoplenews.org to subscribe to the news for people who care about animals. Animal People. Subscribe today at www.animalpeoplenews.org.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get 2 furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
Most pet store puppies are obtained from puppy mills, where dogs are treated as mere livestock to be bred over and over again, and where attention to the mother's and puppy's physical and social needs are ignored. Humane organizations have been trying for many years to close such places down, but they can't do so without the help of an informed public that refuses to buy these dogs. The warmth and comfort sought by puppy buyers can easily be found in any local shelter, where animals wait for rescue from a sad fate. Many puppies bought on a whim will be ending up in these shelters anyway, when the realities of dog guardianship become evident to purchasers. I urge all who are truly serious about providing a lifelong home for a dog to stay clear of puppy mill animals. If it's a specific breed you seek, there are hundreds of breed rescue organizations that will be overjoyed to help. This is Steve LaVorn for the Animal Radio Network.
We are calling Alexandra. Alexandra Powawawa. All red. Waiting for Judy. They're calling. Calling.
Hello.
Hi, Alexandra.
Hi.
It's Hal, and I'm here with Judy.
Yes, hi, Judy.
Hi, Alexandra.
How are you?
Okay. What, you two know each other already?
Yes, we were talking animals. It just makes instant friends.
Very good. You're the author of Dogs Most Wanted, the top 10 book of historic hounds, professional pooches, and canine oddities. A great book. It looks like you'll also be coming out with The Cat's Most Wanted, but let's talk about Dogs Most Wanted. We'll have some giveaways. Great book, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Aesthetically pleasing, well done, nice fonts, easy to read. And I always like that in a book. So many people actually forget that. But this is a book of lists, sort of. How would you describe it?
Well, the way I usually describe it is I'll just say it's a top 10 of everything you ever wanted to know or maybe didn't know and should know about dogs, if you love dogs.
Everything from breeds to stories, animated dogs, the top mushers of all times, moving with your dog.
And it really is. It's sort of a historical reference. I mean, there's even things, for example, dogs in top 10 dogs in war or rescue dogs. Just so a lot of historical information and a lot of just interesting trivia, and then some helpful things in terms of health or training.
Now, you sound like a young lady. How do you go about getting all the top 10 most talked about 101 Dalmatian dogs?
Yeah.
How do you get that information?
My children. That's what started it. Because I remember I was, in fact, it's funny that you said that because I was working in, I wanted to hit on dogs in Hollywood and dogs who've been in commercials, dogs that we've come to know, the characters. And my daughter came running in and I was talking about Benji, as a matter of fact. And she said, what about 101 Dalmatians? And I thought, oh, wow. The true dog lover would have to include that, wouldn't we?
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I thought it was fascinating where you said that in the 11th century, a dog actually reigned as king of Norway.
Isn't that great? Yeah, that's, I love that. I just, and I'm a dog lover, but I defy someone who's not even a crazy dog lover to just not be interested in some of the stuff that we came up with. I mean, it's just great stuff.
Well, it's very diverse. How long did it take you to put the book together?
Really about 6 months, and the only reason it even took that long is because some of the more obscure things that I came up with. But I started when I've always loved dogs, and I thought I was going to be a vet. And so when I turned 18, I became a professional dog trainer, and I trained for years and years, and then from there decided that I didn't have the stomach to be a vet, just because of a lot of the abuse that I saw. But a lot of the stuff that is in this book is just things that I continuously came up with dog owners or saw or the training that I did. And so a lot of this came very easily, but again, you know, some of the more obscure things that I'd have to research. And it's a lot harder to come up with a top 10 list sometimes than you think.
Well, the obscure stuff like the smallest dog on record, a Yorkshire Terrier. Do you remember this information?
You know, if you help me out, yes, I do remember that, but you can help me out with a page number.
I'm actually reading it from the press release.
Oh, okay.
But I can go to the book. I'm going to the book on page 217. We're talking about canine health. Do you remember what's out there? We're talking about the fit factor, an apple a day, low blood pressure, all of this?
Well, and a lot of that came from my dog training days, because people don't realize, but it's just like with kids, when I would work with some of these dogs, and a lot of times the way that they lived at home, whatever their lifestyle was like at home, including the diet, the where and how they slept, had a lot to do with their training and their behavior, which brought them to dog training. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it's pretty wild, but they really are our little furry children, and what we feed them and how we care for them really carries over into the way that they behave.
You've made it very funny, too. It's actually listed as a dog pet care humor book in the categories.
It has to be, because just who makes us laugh more than our animals?
Absolutely. And I see the Cat's Most Wanted, that must be coming out here?
Yes. And I, you know, off the topic, but yes, I own a cat who sleeps on top of my goat and thinks that he's a goat.
A goat?
Sleeps on top of your goat.
What does your goat think about that?
My goat, Cookie Dough, she loves him a lot, and so he every night he comes and crawls up on top of her, and they sleep together, and they just love each other.
Yeah, should we be looking for Goat's Most Wanted?
You know, I tried, but they weren't interested.
They weren't interested. Well, maybe they're just, you're ahead of your time, so
yeah.
Give them a little time. When you get the Cat's Most Wanted out, I want you to send me a few copies, because I'm not a specialist,
definitely.
But I do love cats.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't a cat lover. I did not like cats, and then I've got all kinds of rescue animals at my house. In fact, I've got 12 animals, and only one is one that I paid money for. Everyone else is rescue. But I was given this cat was dropped off to me, and I thought, oh, what am I going to do with this cat? I can't imagine my life without my cat now.
I don't know if you're familiar with the great author Peter Gethers, who
yes.
wrote about Norton, who absolutely despised cats, too.
Yeah.
He's actually referenced in the book. That's funny you say that.
Very good. Well, it's a great book. We're going to give away 5 copies.
Oh, good.
No, I think I'm keeping one. Four copies.
So we're giving away
four copies. Yes.
Why don't you just ask for 6 from now on?
Okay,
and
so make it even 5.
1-866-405-8405. That's 1-866-405-8405. And are these coming from your publisher?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so I'll sign them. I'll autograph them.
Oh, shoot. Yes, I'm sorry.
You know, that's okay. I'll just put my signature on the front.
Yeah, he signs all the books that go out of here.
Works for me. Just put a nice little, just put a paw print there.
Dogs Most Wanted by Alexandra. Is it Powa?
Poe.
As in Edgar Allan. Okay, Alexandra Poe Allred.
There you go.
The top 10 books of historic hounds, professional pooches, and canine oddities. And we'll also put a link from our website so that you can pick up the book also. Nice picture on the front. Like I said, very beautiful book. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Oh, boy, it's just gone by today like you wouldn't believe.
What a fun show, though.
Next weekend, we'll be live from Denver, Colorado. You can get all the information at animalradio.com. That's animalradio.com. It's part of our pet-friendly tour. If you're sticking around for the next hour, we have some special treats for you. If you're leaving us now, you can hear it at animalradio.com. I know some stations don't stick around for that. If you're buying an animal this week, shame, shame on you. You can actually adopt any breed from your shelter, so do that. And when you do it, remember to spay and neuter.
Well, not spay or.
Yeah, just one or the other.
Yes.
Or whatever your doctor says you should do. No need to do actually both. Also, I think that's it. There you go.
Okay.
I thought I had more to say. Have a great week. We'll see you next weekend right here on Animal Radio Network.
Bye-bye.
Checkity-checkin' a microphone, checkity-checkin' a microphone, checkity-check. The Big Show. And we're talking to Joe Sifta. Duff Beer, huh?
Yeah, I just got to say.
Duff Beer. Rub-a-dub-da. Calling Joe Duff. Take that. You're taking over the show, I can tell.
I always soon had soon. Control.
Animal radio show. Sounds like we're going over to voicemail.
Operation Migration Headquarters.
Operation
Ontario.
Migration.
Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. Please leave a message and we will get back to you as soon as possible.
Leave a message for Joe Duff. This is a message for Joseph Duff. This is Hal.
And Judy.
From the Hal Show.
No, the Judy Animal Radio Show.
Animal Radio Network, hoping to talk to you. We think what you do is kind of cool. And you can call us back. You have the phone number. I hope to speak to you before the end of the show today. seriously, I think you're taking over the show.
No, I'm not.
I think you've got a problem.
Let's ask the listeners out there.
No, let's not.
No,
see,
let's
that's your
them.
Thing is you're on this ego thing. No. They don't care. They just want
they
stimulating
care.
Animal conversation.
Who do you want to hear? Do you want to hear me with my soft, sweet, sexy voice?
Okay, thank God I'm in control of the microphone.
You turned me off.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. Turn my mic back on. How dare you? See, I can tell now when you turn me off or turn me on. Well, okay, turn my mic off or on because I can no longer hear myself talk.
He's not there. Let's go ahead and get that plastic surgery guy on the phone, the doctor. We're on hold at the Animal Medical Center of Southern California in Los Angeles, waiting for Dr. Alan Shulman, who is the veterinarian for the stars. This is their whole music?
Yeah, isn't that cool? Makes me feel like I'm in a tropical jungle somewhere. Even though I feel like that every day working with you.
Yeah, doesn't he know we're supposed to interview him now? Big multi-million dollar radio show going on here. Doesn't Dr. Alan Shulman know we're supposed to be talking to him now? Maybe he's doing some emergency surgery, working right now with Madonna on her dog. Or Kitty. I'm just guessing, folks. I don't know. Facelifts, tummy tucks, nose jobs, breast reductions, testicular implants, cosmetic dentistry.
We're not here to discuss your cat surgery.
Not the extreme makeover reality TV show you saw last night. Here's the reality. Those going under the knife to be nipped and tucked are not people but pets and the Dr. Alan Shulman, the great doctor. Is going to be speaking with us momentarily.
See, I figure when it's time for my little tummy tuck and eye lift and stuff, I won't be able to afford it, but maybe if I go to him, it might be a little cheaper.
Yes.
Dr. Alan Shulman, you are on the air with Hal. I'm Hal.
I'm Judy.
And you're on with Judy. We imagine you were probably in some big-time surgery with some big celebrity's puppy or something like that, right?
Close. I was just getting off the phone with Governor Schwarzenegger.
So. Governor Schwarzenegger, does he have an animal that's under your care?
He is a great, great guy. He and I have been friends, and he and Maria have been clients for, years and years and years.
Well, what kind of animals?
Animal lover.
What kind of animals do they have? Dogs?
Let me just put it this way. He is a great, great animal lover, and other than that, just real client, communication issue. I wouldn't want to really go on the air.
I understand that. But you do work with a lot of celebs, huh?
Yes.
How did you get so recognized within the celebrity community?
I'm good.
You're good. There you go.
I like that answer.
And I like the confidentiality thing. It makes me want you to be my vet.
Well, basically, we go ahead and we treat animals that are owned totally across the spectrum, the socioeconomic and racial spectrum through Los Angeles. And, we have an excellent general practice. My specialty is as a board-certified surgeon, and my special interests are orthopedic, neuro, and reconstructive surgery. And we pride ourselves on being available, technically excellent, and reasonably priced. And we give a lot of personal service, which is why so many in the entertainment industry come to us to take care of their pets.
Well, now let me ask you this. You say reconstructive surgery. Maybe I was sold this wrong. I understand a little bit of plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly do you... First of all, an animal having plastic surgery seems a little weird.
Only in
to
Hollywood?
Me. Yes.
No.
Well, now, are we talking about tummy tucks, facelifts? Well, I don't know.
Technically, no, you're absolutely correct. I mean, first and foremost, what I would want to say, to some people who would be listening and say, my God, okay, this guy is running the Beverly Hills Small Animal Plastic Surgery Facility. We get calls, from people that certainly they're looking for Botox and collagen and implants for their pets.
Oh,
but,
my.
You know, for the most part, the people that ask me that are the ones that have finished doing everything they possibly could do to themselves, and now they're trying to blame their dogs.
Moving on to the pet.
So, but that's, we say no to that stuff. It's basically... 98% of what I do is orthopedic and neuro or cardiovascular or thoracic or general soft tissue surgery. But 2-3% could easily be considered more of the cosmetic dermatologic type of surgical procedures. you know, things that people would not really mistake for cosmetic surgery, you know, if you're doing skin grafts or there are skin deficits because of trauma, like burn wounds or being hit by a car or something like that, you're going to mobilize skin. And it is a cosmetic dermatologic procedure, but nobody's going to mistake that for being your classic plastic surgery for vanity's sake.
Right.
But the types of things that we do that could fall under that, and again, I take great pains to say we don't do these things for vanity. We do them because they're truly medically indicated procedures. So we're not trying to take some 10-year-old German Shepherd to make them look four.
So do you get people coming in bringing pictures and saying, I want my dog to look like this?
That I haven't had. I haven't had it as yet, but, oh, well, no, actually, yeah, we did have a couple of women who came in who did not like the shape of their cat's nose and wanted me to inject some Restylane and collagen in there in order to change its shape.
Oh,
and,
no.
You know, that's when you give them your friend who is the psychotherapist. You give them their phone number and say, you know what? Well, this is really where you should spend your money.
Were these ladies, were they lacking in that particular area? Were they projecting perhaps they needed a little something in the old nostril?
I think it had already been done to them.
Yes.
So, but, no, the types of things, you know, for instance, quite commonly, you go ahead and you do eye surgery for entropion or ectropion problems where the eyelids either roll in or out. Typically, you would think of this on, for dogs where it rolls in, a Shar Pei or a Chow.
Right.
On the ones that it rolls out, St. Bernards or Newfies or Great Pyrenees. And they're prone to infections, corneal ulcers, scarring, visual disturbances. So is it essentially an eye lift? Yeah. But, I mean, you're not doing it, you know, so that he looks years younger and could, you know, look differently. You're doing it for the medical benefits of preventing these sorts of infections and
right.
such and helping them see better.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with some of the nose surgeries we do. You get these brachycephalic breeds of dogs like French Bulldogs or, you know, Boston Terriers or Pugs, and they basically don't have any open nostril space. So you're not doing it because he has a kink in his nose. You're doing it so he can actually breathe.
They're legitimate medical reasons. Is insurance covering any of this?
Yes, because they're not, you know, true, you know, as much as we could call them plastic surgical procedures, they are truly done for the medical benefit of the animal. I mean, for instance, when we do a facelift on a dog, it's not because he has a crooked smile.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically... in dogs like Newfies, Great Pyrenees, some of the Mastiffs, they have such chronic skin fold problems where they throw slobber all over the place and their mouths are constantly wet and the skin around it collects terrible yeast or bacterial infections in many of these guys. Quite truthfully, in the good old days, the way that they used to be handled, you would literally go and you would remove the salivary glands to stop some of the excessive salivation.
Seems drastic.
Which is kind of drastic. And so I didn't think it was such a big deal to say, you know, if we cut that fold out and do all of our work within the mouth, in the lips, and pull this up and back, and then do the same thing on the upper lips to make a little bit of a tighter seal, save the salivary glands, get rid of all the chronic infection and bad breath and potential for systemic bacteremia, which could settle out on the heart valves or in the kidney, you know, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, you do a few facelifts, and the next thing you know, you're, you know, being called up by Entertainment Tonight, Inside Edition, you know, MSNBC, The New York Times, Newsweek, you know, Fox News. And
finally, Animal Radio Network, which, of course, is
and
the largest
exactly.
Of those.
Exactly.
That brings me to what West Hollywood's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
They recently did a decline ban, and mm-hmm. are they trying to do anything with cosmetic surgeries on pets?
What they've done is a whole sequence of events, and it basically started out where in West Hollywood they came out and wanted to pass a law that basically says that people cannot own animals. You could be a legal guardian, but you can't be an owner.
Right.
And, you know, basically when you do something like that, you know, most people are going to look at this and go, well, I can understand that because, you know, slavery wasn't a really good thing. We shouldn't be able to own other living things. So
right.
Guardianship, yeah, okay, fine, I get it. Then the next thing that they go ahead and tackle is saying, let's make it illegal to declaw cats. And, again, it's the type of subject area that there's not a whole lot of people who are going to argue that point. The real issues are that they are making inroads on governmental agencies having the ability to dictate medical procedures rather than allowing those decisions to stay within a doctor-patient relationship. My feeling is rather than necessarily having government play a role and, you know, laying down the law, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
I think excellent public education with regards to the alternatives would be time much better spent.
Well, who's responsible for that education?
Well, let me put it to you this way. I see 15,000 clients a year. Out of those 15,000, I think last year, because, you know, I don't go out of my way to declaw or I won't crop ears, we don't dock tails, you know, I don't do that stuff. That's just my personal feeling with regards to that. I mean, I'll fix them if somebody else screws them up, you know, because that's part of your job of being a board-certified surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't go out of my way to do them in the first place. But of the four declaws that we ended up doing last year, every single one of them lived in West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. They left the county to come to you, huh?
Well, they don't have to leave the county, quite honestly, because the truth of the matter is a city ordinance is totally superseded by a state statute. And why West Hollywood has decided to become Berkeley South, I don't know, but they are. And the reason I bring this up is because here's a city that goes ahead and makes an ordinance that says we don't want to have animals declawed. And quite truthfully, on a numerous number of occasions, I end up having clients from West Hollywood who are gay couples who are, you know, coming to me to declaw an animal, not because they're worried about, you know, some fancy draperies in their house getting shredded, but, you know, unfortunately, one is HIV positive. They're on phenomenal immunosuppressive drugs. And if they end up getting declawed by their cat, they're screwed.
Yes.
And the thing is, what are you supposed to do if they have it? What are you going to tell them? I'm sorry, you can't own an animal anymore. You have to give up your pet. You can't get any more. What's the chance of a 6 to 10 year old cat that's been in a household, a loving household for that long, now being able to get adopted from a shelter?
Yeah,
I mean, what's the lesser of two evils? But they never take that into consideration.
Yeah, it's not a black and white issue.
No, it's not.
And we really don't have the time to get into it today. You're a very, very knowledgeable doctor, and we'd love to talk to you again.
Sure.
We've touched on a lot of things today. Dr. Alan Shulman, the Animal Medical Center, for those of you listening in Los Angeles on Coast 103.5, you can look him up.
Good. Now, do you have a website?
It's www.animalmedicalcenter.com.
Great.
Dr. Alan Shulman, thanks for spending time with us today.
Not a problem.
There's more Animal Radio on the way. Stick around.
I'm talking about my dog, Chance, and what a great product Comfort Zone has been. He had a lot of severe anxiety, separation problems. He redecorated my house several times for me when I had left him alone. Through a friend who gave me as a gift Comfort Zone, I started using it about 9 months ago. At one point, I ran out of it for a month, and I saw a definite change in his personality right away. He's a small terrier type dog, and he has a high energy level. Without it, he just is out of control. He can't seem to control himself. I worked nights, and I had hoped that I would be able to leave Chance by himself. Before I got Comfort Zone, that was totally impossible. He had even jumped through one of the windows in my home and came down to where I work. After using Comfort Zone, I'm able to leave him in the evenings. He's a very much calmer dog. Even in the daytime, he's more relaxed. It's a godsend. I don't know what we would do without it. I think it's a great product, and it's really changed our lives. Comfort Zone is a godsend for us.
It is good stuff for great pets.
Yes, it is.
And I think we're talking about Echo. Can you hear that?
Yes, I can.
We'll have to work on that. I don't know what that's about.
Right. The cats push the button.
The cats probably push some button around
he
here.
He always blames it on the cats.
Well, because it is the cats. This is the only radio studio in the world that has cats inside all over the equipment. And I like it that way.
Except for when they walk across your board and push in your buttons.
If they would just return
literally
the buttons. It is Animal Radio Network. I'm Hal.
I'm Judy.
And this is Good Stuff for Great Pets. Every week, scouring the world for good stuff for your pets. And this week, special gifts come from us, and we'll pass them on to you. They came to us from Cain and Abel.
Now, I tried to get Cain and Abel on the phone to do an interview with us, but, you know, we keep running into that problem. They don't speak English.
Are they animals? Oh, do you have the pictures right here?
Yes.
Oh, a couple of nice dogs.
Aren't they?
Very
love
attractive looking dogs there. Cain and Abel. Actually, Animal Radio Network's run by a cat. Not a lot of people know that. On the phone with us, we have Candace Smith. Hi, Candace.
Hi, how are y'all?
I'm doing
good.
Very
how are you?
Good.
I'm doing great.
Where are you?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas, very nice place.
Yes, and an animal-loving place.
An animal-loving place in a place where there's, you know, canned hunts and all kinds of animal-loving things. Austin is definitely, it's like Boulder, Colorado. It sticks out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a college town, isn't it?
It is. UT is here.
UT is here. Oh, UT is here, yeah.
Yes.
University of Texas is there. You sent us some wonderful baskets, which we're going to give to the listeners in just a second. We got a bone-shaped spa basket. Tell everybody what's in it.
Well, the bone-shaped spa basket has our – all of our products are all natural. So that basket comes with a conditioning shampoo, a between bath spritz, which is a bug spray and perfume in one. It also comes with our bone-shaped soap on a rope, which is a real unique item. It's an oatmeal-based soap with shea butter, aloe vera, and vitamin E oil, which is great for dogs with sensitive skin. It's also great for people to use.
Yeah, I was going to say, forget the dog.
You can bathe with your dog.
Yeah, and that basket also comes with a candle. It's a lavender blend candle. The smell is great, traditional kind of aromatherapy smell. Smells like a spa. It lasts about 70 hours.
Wow.
Hello?
Are you there?
Caller, are you there? We've lost Candace.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what happened to her there. Anyway, it's should we get her back on the phone here?
Let me get her back.
See, there's no cats in the studio right now, so you can't blame it on the cats.
I need the phone.
Yeah. No. What? You're going to need the phone number? You know, you're getting real picky, Judy. Real picky.
Hello?
Oh, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Did I lose you?
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. I was just talking on.
You're not on one of those IP phones, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Wow. We lost you, but apparently you came back there.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That was very strange.
Yeah.
How did Cain and Abel begin?
Well, Cain and Abel. Cain is a German Shepherd Husky mix, and Abel is a Labrador Retriever. And, of course, they rule our house, and we were very concerned about, you know, what type of products we were using on them, because harsh detergents and synthetic perfumes can create hair loss and create rashes. Abel has very sensitive skin, and Cain is aging, so I was concerned about the effects of aging on Cain and then keeping any hot spots and problems away from Abel. And so I decided to create a product that would be wonderful for their skin, keep them clean, but at the same time be really good for their skin, provide nutrients, and keep hair loss from happening so rapidly on Cain.
I see a note here to ask about the doggy toiletries. What's that about?
Well, that's just our cute way of saying toiletries.
Oh, toiletries.
So we said toiletries because we want to make bath time a treat time versus a time when the dog runs, you know, for the hills.
How often should you bathe your dog? I understand that you shouldn't do it too often.
No, you don't want to do it too often because you don't want their skin to dry out. And dogs will clean themselves, not as much as cats, but they will. It really depends on how often or how much your dog gets out. I personally bathe Cain and Abel about once every 2 to 3 weeks, which is perfect for them. You know, that changes if we're out hiking a lot more in the summer than it will be more often. But I would say for most dogs, if it's a indoor-outdoor dog, 2 to 3 weeks is probably perfect. And then you can use the between-bath spritz between the baths to keep the dog smelling good and to keep the bugs and fleas off. Because our products are also formulated to repel bugs and fleas naturally.
You know, I love the basket itself. It is just so eye-catching and just so awesome. And I was looking and reviewing some of the products that you have in there. I mean, I love the fact that you do have the spray for the cologne and repels bugs at the same time. And there's nothing worse than bathing your dog in your house and having that wet dog smell.
Right.
That candle. You know, we have the five giveaways. We'll talk about that in just a second. But we put them in our prize closet. And you walk into the prize closet, and it just smells so good in there.
I thought it was me. I thought it was my new cologne. But that wasn't it. I noticed I only smelt it in the prize closet.
Yes. They smell wonderful. They're very eye-pleasing.
It's a great gift. What's the website if somebody wants to come get one of these?
The website is CainandAbelCollection.com. That's CainandAbelCollection.com.
Okay, and of course, we'll, as we do with all our guests, put a link on our website so people can go directly to you. Cain and Abel, we give you the Good Stuff for Great Pets Award for this week. Thanks so much for the gifts that we're going to pass on right now to you, the listener, 1-866-405-8405.
And, you know, I know people are always looking for the perfect gift to give the pet lover.
Oh, this is
here
it.
You go. Every pet lover will love this.
Okay, guys, get to the phone now if you've been a bad husband and you want to get your wife a gift to give to the dog. Thanks so much for spending time with us, Candace. We appreciate it. We wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you all.
1-866-405-8405. There's more Animal Radio on the way. Stick around, you lucky devil.
Hold on.
Okay, that echo was...
You fixed it?
I think she had her radio on. If you call us here at 1-866-405-8405, please turn down your radio in the background. Otherwise, you get what we call feedback.
Oh, is that what that was?
Thanks for the feedback, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Joe Duff, who is migrating with the birds.
We're finally going to get him on the phone this time?
I think so. I think we're going to have him on the phone. Don't forget, next weekend, live from Denver, all the information at animalradio.com. Animalradio.com will be bringing lots of prizes with us to give to you. So bring your pets out for that. We'll be back in just a second with more Animal Radio on Animal Radio Network.
You lucky devil.
That's my line.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm talking about my dog Chance and what a great product Comfort Zone has been. He had a lot of severe anxiety, separation problems. He redecorated my house several times for me when I had left him alone. Through a friend who gave me as a gift Comfort Zone, I started using it about 9 months ago. At one point, I ran out of it for a month, and I saw a definite change in his personality right away. He's a small terrier type dog, and he has a high energy level. Without it, he just is out of control. He can't seem to control himself. I worked nights, and I had hoped that I would be able to leave Chance by himself. Before I got Comfort Zone, that was totally impossible. He had even jumped through one of the windows in my home and came down to where I worked. After using Comfort Zone, I'm able to leave him in the evenings. He's a very much calmer dog. Even in the daytime, he's more relaxed. It's a godsend. I don't know what we would do without it. I think it's a great product, and it's really changed our lives. Comfort Zone is a godsend for us.
Cut one. Term Lifeline 60-second spot.
Term life insurance. Everybody should have the right protection, and there's only one place to get it. The Term Lifeline.
I can't read this script anymore. There's the script. Listen, let me talk from my heart. We all know why we need term life insurance, in case the unforeseen happens. Well, I have a family, too, and if anything happens to me, I want to make sure my house and my debts are handled and my family has enough money to take care of them for a long time. So about a year ago, I called the Term Lifeline. I got a very affordable price for a $500,000 policy. I want to make sure my family's protected if something happens to me. If you already have term life insurance, call us and get more coverage. It never hurts. Or see if you're paying too much right now. If you don't have term life insurance, you definitely need to call us. Here's the number. 800-430-0932. 800-430-0932. That's 800-430-0932. Not available in all states.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
Every once in a while, there comes along a special group of animal lovers that stands strongly in defense of the voiceless. Animal People is that newspaper for people who really care about the animals. Animal People's published 10 times yearly. The publisher is a nonprofit corporation dedicated to exposing the existence of cruelty to animals and to informing and educating you so that animal lovers worldwide can eliminate such cruelty.
Your subscription is $24 a year. Get Animal People's fair and accurate investigative reporting from the industry watchdog. Visit our website at www.animalpeoplenews.org. That's www.animalpeoplenews.org to subscribe to the news for people who care about animals. Animal People. Subscribe today at www.animalpeoplenews.org.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
This is Animal Art Radio Network.
Okay, so it turns out that Joe Duff is at home with his daughter, is that correct?
Yes, I believe she stayed home from school today because she's not feeling well.
Well, we'll have to find out if she's really not feeling well or she's faking sick to stay home. We'll call him now.
Hello?
Hi, Joe Duff, Joseph Duff?
Yes.
Hal Abrams and Judy Francis from Animal Radio Network.
Hi, Joe.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Sorry about having to call me at home. My daughter's just got a touch of the flu, I think, so.
A little touch of the flu. Where are we calling you?
Port Perry, Ontario, which is about an hour north east of Toronto.
Very well. And you have an interesting kind of career that you got going on there. I've been trying to explain it to the listeners for the last few minutes, but I'm going to let you tell us all about Operation. Is it Operation Migration?
That's right.
And what you do and how you do it.
Okay.
First of all, what kind of birds are we talking about?
Whooping cranes.
Whooping cranes.
That's right.
And every year, you fly with them, or you lead them south. Is that correct or north?
No, we lead them south. It's not just me alone. There are two other pilots and a whole team of handlers and aviculturists. And we lead them from Wisconsin, the Cedar National Wildlife Refuge in the center of Wisconsin, down to the Chassahawitzka National Wildlife Refuge by Crystal River in Florida.
In Florida, yes.
And
okay.
How far is that as the eagle flies?
As a crane flies, 1,200 miles.
1,200 miles. So is there three craft doing this?
Yeah, we have three aircraft in the air at all times, plus we have a Cessna flown by Don and Paula Lounsbury that fly top cover for us and keep us clear of air traffic control zones.
What kind of aircraft are these?
These are ultralights. They're made in France. They're called Cosmos ultralights. If you ever saw the movie Fly Away Home,
yes,
it's the exact same aircraft as we flew in that film.
Which is, by the way, the film that you partook in the creation of that film, didn't you?
Right. It was based on my partner's life story, basically, and he and I did the first migration with Canada geese together, and then that attracted the attention of Columbia Pictures, so we did the flying and the training and all the air shots for them.
Okay, so what makes the birds want to stay along with you?
Well, it's a natural instinct called imprinting. These are precocial birds. That means that they hatch from nests that are right on the ground, and they leave the nest almost immediately. They can walk, and they can feed themselves, and they're covered in a kind of a down that keeps them warm, unlike a songbird that stays in the nest until it learns to fly. And so precocial birds like that imprint on their parents. It's a natural instinct to imprint on the first thing that really nurtures them, and we just make sure that's us.
What happens if you're not around to do this?
Well, we just have to make sure we are.
Oh, really? Okay. So, and then do they find their way back from Florida at the change of the season?
That's right. It's a natural instinct, and all we do is replicate, you know, what the parent teaches them, and that's a one-way trip. They're hatched in the spring, they fledge midsummer, and they follow the parent down on the first migration route, and thereafter they're generally on their own. So,
well, why do we need to teach birds to migrate?
Well, migration is an important factor. If you didn't have migration, you'd have a much greater impact on one single environment. By birds migrating, they get to use more than one area, have less impact on it. By migrating, they get to use much more territory. They can control the temperature. They select a much better breeding habitat. Whooping cranes, for instance, nest in salt marshes and, I'm sorry, freshwater marshes and winter in salt marshes. So there's two different habitat there. It's critically important for a lot of things. You know, if you consider if we didn't have bird migration and strictly bird migration, then all of the birds that you're familiar with all summer wouldn't exist up here. And there'd be fewer of them because they'd all be concentrated in the tropics and there'd be a lot more predation, a lot more disease. But you spread them out, they get use of bigger environments and better environments. And
wow. Are the whooping crane, are they endangered?
Yes. Back in the 1940s, there were only 15.
Wow.
They're about as endangered as you can get.
Jeez. How many are there today, would you guess?
Well, there's a little more than 400. Actually, the flock that had 15 in it, they nested in Wood Buffalo National Park, which is in northern Canada, and they came 2,500 miles south every year to Aransas National Wildlife Refuge in southern Texas. And that population was down to 15. Now, just this year, they broke 200. It's been a long, arduous trip, but since the 40s to now, they have 213 birds in that flock. Now, that's still a precarious situation because you have lots of numbers, but you know what Texas is like. Like any place in North America, it's under pressure from development. There's a lot of it's a very busy shipping lane, so there are petrochemicals shipped very close to the habitat. It's also subject to a lot of hurricanes and storms, and you have possibility of even disease. So it's like having all of your eggs in one basket,
so to speak. Yeah.
So we have a joint Canadian-U.S. whooping crane recovery team, and they've determined that we need two separate populations besides that naturally occurring population. So back in 1993, the propagation centers around the U.S. had finally figured out how to raise them in captivity because it was a very difficult job, and they started to produce enough chicks that they could start releasing them into the wild. Well, there was no way of making those birds migratory. They learn a migration route from their parent, and if there's no parent, then, of course, there's no migration route. So they picked Kissimmee Prairie in Florida as a reintroduction site because they knew the birds could spend all year there, and they have done that. They now have what we call a resident or non-migratory flock, and there are, I believe, just under 70 birds in that flock.
Oh, that's very interesting.
So then that's when my partner came along in 1993 and started working with Canada Geese, and thereafter I became involved in 94. We did the first migrations together. We did Flyaway Home.
What was that first flight like? Did you think maybe you were crazy?
Well, I think, like Bill, I've spent most of my life crazy, so that part didn't matter.
Well,
everybody else thought we were crazy, but
Bill wanted to fly in the cadets, and
that's right.
A mandatory eye test revealed that he was colorblind as well as dyslexic, and
that's right.
He would be unable to do that. So
right.
I wonder how one makes the transition from that to flying with whooping cranes.
Well, I think it's a slow evolution. You know, he couldn't fly conventional airplanes, so as soon as ultralights became available, he, you know, basically took a hang glider and added a motor to it and taught himself how to fly. And then one day while he was flying, he was buzzing around the fields in southern Ontario, and he flew over this flock of ducks, rather, that were in a field. And the ducks launched and took off, and for a couple of seconds, I guess, flew along beside him. He was kind of immersed in this whole flock.
Wow.
And it was a life-changing event for him. And so he began to think about actually flying with birds. And there was a gentleman named Bill Carrick, who's a naturalist in Ontario, who was teaching Canada geese to follow his boat. And Bill Lishman saw this work and thought, well, my airplane flies roughly the same speed. So he took 3 years and a broken foot and then a lot of effort and time to see if he could do it. And he was finally successful in 1988 flying with birds.
Wow.
So then that was just flying around locally. Did a little video that was called Come On Geese, and that garnered a lot of attention from the media and also from the scientific community, who began to think, well, maybe this has some merit. So I took a sabbatical from my photography career in 1993, and we decided to see if we could try migration. So we led some Canada geese from Ontario, right across Lake Ontario, and down into Virginia. We did that trip with 18 birds. 16 survived the winter, and 13 were confirmed back in Ontario the following spring. They came back by themselves.
Very good.
Now, they didn't come back just to Ontario. They came back to the doorstep. As a matter of fact, two of them walked into the shed where the incubator was. So all of a sudden, it had, you know, it had begun to have some merit. And then we spent a number of years working with sandhill cranes because they're a non-endangered species. And we would try and experiment. We would bring the results to the whooping crane recovery team meeting, and they'd ask us about different problems like wildness and concerns they had. So in 1998, we were able to attend the meeting after having done several experiments and say, we can lead sandhill cranes, which are similar to whooping cranes. We can teach them to follow our aircraft, lead them on a pre-selected migration route, have them winter in a predetermined site. They'll stay there all winter, initiate their own return migration, come back to the introduction site, yet avoid humans and select proper habitat.
Wow. Huh.
So at that point, the recovery team thought, well, this is now viable. You know, it's kind of a crazy idea, dressing up in a costume, carry a puppet, and fly an ultralight across the country.
Are there any pictures on the internet of you in your costume?
Oh, yes, there are, certainly.
Okay.
Certainly.
Anywhere that you know of, any particular URL or...
Our website, yes, operationmigration.org, O-R-G.
Operationmigration.org. We'll put a link from animalradio.com.
That would be terrific.
And do the birds ever see another plane and take off for that other plane?
They are conditioned to our costumes and our aircraft the same way they would be imprinted on their parent, and they would recognize their parent among several others. So it's very specific. For instance, if we were to change the sound of the engine by changing the propeller or something, they wouldn't follow the aircraft. So all other aircraft are considered a threat, and they avoid them.
Very good. Very interesting.
How do you get your money? How's this project funded?
Well, you see, I know all about cranes and how to fly with them, but I know very little about raising funds, and that's our problem. We're a small organization, and it is very difficult to raise funds. We have a number of grants we apply for. We have a mile maker campaign. People can phone in and donate the cost of a mile, which is $184, or a half mile or quarter mile. We sell videos and T-shirts and do our best to raise funds, but it's always
very
difficult.
How do you determine the per mile cost?
Well, we basically take the cost of our entire project and divide it by the 1,200 miles, and it works out to around $184. It fluctuates every year, of course, because
gas prices.
You know, that is, we're part of the Whooping Crane Eastern Partnership. There are 9 agencies in that organization, including the International Crane Foundation and Fish and Wildlife Service, and all working together. And Operation Migration provides all the training and facilities, and we have the aircraft, and we provide all the crew for the migration. So we start when the chick is still in the egg, and we finish when we deliver that bird to, those birds to Florida. It's usually late December. Last year, the migration took 64 days. So.
Do they have a name? Do you find yourself with an emotional attachment to particular whooping cranes?
Well, you do. We are trying to keep these birds as wild as possible, so we don't assign them nicknames. We don't give them nicknames. We assign them numbers. So we just refer to them as number because we're trying to leave the impression that they're not pets. They are wild creatures. Mm-hmm. But you certainly do get attached to certain birds. I mean, they all have individual personalities, and you wear the costume and carry a puppet, of course, and you have a little recorder of adult crane calls. We have about 6 calls we can use. So when you walk into the pen, you know, the birds recognize you by your shape, same as they would recognize another bird. And you get to be a bird with them. So some are aggressive and some are friendly and some, you know, cry to you for food and some try to stand off and, you know, some want to attack you to make sure that they're higher in the dominant structure than you are. So,
so it's time to go rent, if you forgot it, the 1995 film Fly Away Home. Joseph Duff, thanks so much for taking time to join us on Animal Radio today.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it. Hold on, there's more Animal Radio on the way.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Cut one. Term Lifeline 60-second spot.
Term life insurance. Everybody should have the right protection, and there's only one place to get it. The Term Lifeline.
I can't read this script anymore.
There's a script. Listen, let me talk from my heart. We all know why we need term life insurance, in case the unforeseen happens. Well, I have a family too, and if anything happens to me, I want to make sure my house and my debts are handled and my family has enough money to take care of them for a long time. So about a year ago, I called the Term Lifeline. I got a very affordable price for a $500,000 policy. I want to make sure my family's protected if something happens to me. If you already have term life insurance, call us and get more coverage. It never hurts. Or see if you're paying too much right now. If you don't have term life insurance, you definitely need to call us. Here's the number. 800-430-0932. 800-430-0932. That's 800-430-0932. Not available in all states.
I got this dog, and I just moved in with my boyfriend, and Sheba was driving my boyfriend crazy. She was chewing on his shoes, tearing up the newspaper. She started chewing on the couch. My boyfriend was, you know, telling me maybe I should get rid of the dog. He can't stand her anymore, and I really don't want to get rid of Sheba. I love her to death. And then my friend mentioned this new product called Comfort Zone, and she said that I should try it because it works really good. So went out and purchased it, tried it for a couple days, and wasn't sure if it was going to work or not. And noticed a few days later that it started working. And I went shopping, came home, seeing him and Sheba asleep on the couch. At first, my boyfriend wanted me to get rid of the dog, but now it looks like I get to keep Sheba. Thanks to Comfort Zone, we all now get along really well.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
Oh, if you're like me, you run out every Sunday and you get the paper for what? Not the money section, not the real estate section.
But what is the section you read first?
It's actually the only section I read, Judy. It's actually because I'm not a very good reader and I like pictures a lot. But it is
so you go
for the comics.
Yes, yes.
And in over 500 newspapers across the country, we have one of the best strips there is. It's Mutz, and you probably remember it, if not by name, by the cute little cats and dogs and the little critters that grace the comic strip. And we have the author, artist, cartoonist. I'm not even sure what the official title would be. Patrick McDonald, what is your title?
Hi. No, it's cartoonist usually, sure.
Cartoonist, and first of all, where do you live?
I'm in New Jersey.
We're calling you in New Jersey, and you've been doing Mutz for how long? It seems like forever now.
You know, it does seem like forever. Actually, it just celebrated its 10th anniversary.
Wow.
For a decade. Wow. It seems to me, and it's really apparent in all of your strips, that you're a big animal lover, not only just as a companion animal lover, but sort of an advocate for the health of animals.
Yeah, well, I am an animal lover, and, you know, it started with just the dog and the cat, but actually I hope people who read the strip will extend the love they have for their own dog and cat to all God's creatures.
Absolutely. So are these creatures in your cartoon based on animals that you have at home?
Oh, yeah. Well, Earl is based on my dog, Earl.
Okay.
Who just turned 16 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and the cat, I do have a cat now named Meemaw, and it's but the cat Mooch in the strip is based on different cats I've had.
Sort of a blend.
Yeah, different traits from a couple of them.
Well, I was so excited when I got this in the mail because it meant that it lasts a lot longer than the newspaper. The book is called Mutz. dog-eared, and it is a full-length book. Well, let's see, probably doesn't have page numbers on it, but it's a nice chunky book.
I think it's 140, something like that.
I'm going to take your word for it. Yeah, I'd say something like that. Of comic strips, many which are shelter stories. I love the shelter stories. What made you do that?
Well, thanks. Well, you know, when I started the strip, it's Earl and Mooch are the stars, and they come from loving homes. But I try to see the world through the animals' eyes, and about 3 or 4 years into the strip, I thought it would be important to talk about all the dogs and cats who are looking for homes to go to. So I do it twice a year, a week, 2 weeks every year of shelter stories. And actually, I had some ideas in my notebooks, and the Humane Society of the United States actually called me up and told me that the first week of November is National Animal Shelter Appreciation Week.
Nope.
And I thought that was a good week to run my shelter stories, and I still do it every year in November.
Very good. What got you involved on a proactive level?
I think, again, trying to see the world through the animals' eyes. They have it pretty tough on this planet, and I just would like to get the word out there to treat the animals better.
Do you notice a reaction? Are people making comments saying that I learned something from your strip and I went out and adopted an animal instead of buying it?
I tell you, the greatest part of doing this strip is I do get letters from people saying that they were inspired to go out and get a new companion at their local shelter. That makes my day. I do get quite a few of those letters.
Doesn't that make it all worthwhile?
Oh, yeah. It certainly does.
So tell us, you have the Mooch alike at home and the Earl alike at home. What other animals? Any other animals?
No, actually, it's pretty corny. I live the comic strip. I have the Earl and Mooch, and Earl pretty much sleeps at my feet while I'm drawing, and on occasion, the cat sleeps on my drawing table, so... They're my inspiration. For sure.
They're your muse. So it's not fiction. It's reality.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
I'm going to have to go back and reread it now with a different point of view.
We'll learn a little more about your life there, Patrick.
Yes. Well, you know, most of the ones with just Ozzy, Earl's owner, and the two of them together, those are pretty autobiographical. I tell you, if you're going to come back as an animal, come back as a cartoonist dog. I'm home all day. And I
Oh, that's great.
Now, does the Ozzy, the owner, does he look like you? Is that a character?
You know, unfortunately, probably yes. A little bit.
Well, we're very blessed. We have 5 copies of this great book to give away to our listeners. You've got to be a loyal Mutt's reader.
Yes.
Cartoon lover like me, and you can call me right now, 1-866-405-8405. That's 1-866-405-8405, and we'll hook you up with a copy of Patrick McDonald's new book, Mutts Dog-Eared. And if you love, like I said, if you love Mutts, this is a... You must have it. And even if you've never even seen Mutts, this is a must-have also. Do we have a website or anywhere we can go?
Yeah, actually, if it's not in your local paper, there's MuttsComics.com, C-O-M-I-C-S, MuttsComics.com. And, it's the people that run it just do such a great job. It has the cartoons on there. It has a bunch of information about animals. And it's a great website, if I do say so myself.
Well, what's it like to be a cartoonist? Do you feel a lot of pressure, or is it fun?
You know, it's a little combination of two. It's something I always wanted to do since I was 5 years old. If I knew how much work it was, I might not have had that dream. But, you know, it's you have a constant deadline. It never goes away, and there's no vacation. So,
kind of like working in radio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just every day. We don't get any days off, and they're trying to come up with the ideas. That's the tough part. But I love to draw, and I love living with my characters, so it's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's great when you love your job. If you weren't a cartoonist, what would you be?
I really like music. I'd want to do something in the music industry, probably.
Can you play any instruments?
I play the drums.
Very good.
Yeah. But if I was going to be something, I'd like to be a composer of classical music. Not that I can do that, but that's what I'd like to do.
Hey, it never hurts to dream. But you do what you do very well.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And we appreciate you taking time to visit with us today. And when the next book comes out, keep us posted, okay?
Will do. Thank you so much.
Very, very good. Patrick McDonald, Mutts is the book, Dog-Eared. Check it out at your local store. We have 5 copies to give away, 1-866-405-8405. And don't forget, we'll be in Denver live next weekend. Join us. You can get all the information at animalradio.com. If you get a pet this week, remember to spay or neuter.
Hey, we got it right that time.
And be sure not to buy your pet. You can adopt any kind of pet that you want from a breed rescue of your choice. It's all at animalradio.com. We'll see you next week right here for more Animal Radio Network.
Bye-bye.
Every once in a while, there comes along a special group of animal lovers that stands strongly in defense of the voiceless. Animal People is that newspaper for people who really care about the animals. Animal People's published 10 times yearly. The publisher is a nonprofit corporation dedicated to exposing the existence of cruelty to animals and to informing and educating you so that animal lovers worldwide can eliminate such cruelty. Your subscription is $24 a year. Get Animal People's fair and accurate investigative reporting from the industry watchdog. Visit our website at www.animalpeoplenews.org. That's www.animalpeoplenews.org to subscribe to the news for people who care about animals. Animal People. Subscribe today at www.animalpeoplenews.org.
This is Animal Radio Network.